The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. We're here at Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM in Pittsfield, heart of the Berkshires, 88.1 WSBR in Lee, also super famous spot, home of most of the marble. They got to Washington, D.C. monuments. Super psyched to be here with you. I am your Super Waterman, Ambassador Water. Going to have a really good interview later on today. And that's going to be with a friend of show, Matthew Brinton, artist extraordinaire. Going to talk a little bit about Thoreau, some of his authored books, and talk about the intersection between spirituality, water, and art. Super psyched. I'm calling this episode Wu Wei, the Christian perspective of art and spirituality. And super psyched to be here with you. Thanks for tuning in. We got some music coming your way. Let's go see what we got. First, a little bit from Kansas. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are. don't you cry no more.
Come, Lord Jesus, come. Yeah.
You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. I am your Super Waterman Ambassador for Water right here from WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, going from here to all around the world on all your major podcast channels. Check it out. We're transforming to video during these next several months, so you'll see a lot of shorts up there. And today I'm going to have a really great guest. He's in studio listening to the background vibe of H2O. His name is Matthew Brinton, and he's going to be on the show in just a couple of minutes. Before that, we got a little bit of water news coming your way, and this is from NPR. Let's go see it's about what? It's about Congress holds the key to turning the tide on Ohio River basin pollution. Thanks, NPR. There's a little bit more on that.
Next, we report on a bid to clean up the Ohio River. The river begins in downtown Pittsburgh and flows past several states on its way to Cairo, Illinois. It's played a big role in American history and American industry. The Ohio is downriver of every Pittsburgh steel mill. It had other mills along its banks from Steubenville, Ohio to Ashland, Kentucky. Anything along the Tennessee River or the Wabash flows into the Ohio, which leads to a question. How do you clean it up now? A plan to scrub it would take support from Congress. Morgan Watkins of Louisville Public Media went out on the water.
A paddle along a small slice of the Ohio River in Louisville reveals the industrial history of this waterway. People call it a working river because it's an important pathway for barges, transporting millions of tons of cargo each year. One floats by, carrying freight past a family-owned sand company on the shore, one of many riverside businesses. The booming of industry along the Ohio River has boosted the economies of many waterfront towns, but it also took an environmental toll. Forrest Clevenger is paddling the canoe. He leads a nonprofit called the Ohio River Way. He's excited about an idea to protect the wetlands, rivers, and streams that make up the entire Ohio River basin through investments in
clean water, habitat restoration, flooding mitigation, and public recreational infrastructure.
It's a big vision, but he says it's not unique.
Like restoration initiatives that are in watersheds all around the country, just not here.
He's talking about restoration programs launched for historic American waters in recent decades, like the Great Lakes, Chesapeake Bay, and the Everglades. In all of them, the federal government has been providing substantial funding and coordinating partnerships with states and local communities. Now, after several years of work, people in this region have a blueprint to take to Congress. It's called the Ohio River Basin Restoration and Protection Plan. Last month, the groups behind the plan co-hosted a special conference in Louisville. Chris Lorenz chairs one of them, the Ohio River Basin Alliance.
This is a game changer, once-in-a-lifetime, once-in-a-generation opportunity. We're asking for this now, and we're going to show that it's worth the investment.
What they're asking for is money from Congress, an initial investment of $350 million per year for 5 years. The funds could help do things like clean up contaminated sites and update public water systems along the river. The plan's supporters say repairing the region's environmental health will boost local tourism and economies. That's why Lorenz has high hopes Congress and President Trump will fund it.
When you look at the priorities of any administration, including the current one, it's economic development, it's community enhancement.
While their plan focuses a lot on restoring the environment, he says it checks those economic boxes too. Democratic Congressman Morgan McGarvey of Louisville is working on bipartisan legislation to launch the Ohio River Restoration Initiative.
The Ohio River is the largest body of water in the entire country that does not receive a single dollar in dedicated federal funding. Not one. That's something we got to change.
He acknowledges getting Congress's approval won't happen easily or quickly.
We will never stop fighting because I think this is the type of legacy generational product where I hope 50, 60, 70, 100 years from now, nobody knows who did it, but they love and stand in awe and in wonder of the incredible Ohio River and the Ohio River Valley.
Supporters know it's an uphill battle, but after years of work building a coalition across 14 states and hundreds of communities that make up the Ohio River Basin, They finally have a detailed plan to show Congress what is possible with their support. For NPR News, I'm Morgan Watkins in Louisville.
Drinking a beer. I'm drinking the bottled water. We all drink bottled water because tap water is scary. It's scary. You know, it's as if this stuff didn't at one point come from a tap. You know, it's not like there was some French guy next to a stream going, one. Jean-Paul, hand me another one. Two. He doesn't even know French. How did we get to the point where we're drinking bottled water? That must have been some weird marketing meeting over in France. You know, some French guy was like, how dumb do I think the Americans are? I bet you we could sell this to the it's water. Pierre, the Americans are pretty dumb, but they're not gonna buy water.
Oh, yes they are. Let's just tell them the water's from France.
And we bought it. I don't know if you're like me, when they first introduced bottled water, I thought it was so funny. I was like, bottled water? They're selling bottled water? I guess I'll try it. Oh, this is good. This is more watery than water. Yeah, this has got a water kick to it. I was looking at a bottle of water. They have nutritional facts printed on the side. I'm no chemist, but I got a rough idea what's in water. Kind of expect to turn the bottle, see a recipe printed on. Oh, that's how you make ice cubes. Apparently, you just freeze this stuff.
Oh, but you need a tray. That's how they get you. They probably want you to buy their tray. That's how they get you.
That's silly.
You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show from H2O. That was some Jim Gaffigan, more watery water. Special shout out to NPR for that little piece on Congress funding Ohio River Valley and Basin cleanup, which sounds like a great idea. Sounds like a great idea. Let's have that happen. And then before that, we had What the Water Gave Me, Florence and the Machine. And before that, we had a little bit of Jesus music with All Who Are Thirsty by Cutlass. And then Carry On, Wayward Son, for all those wayward sons and daughters who want to create the world and have a special passion for that. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. I'm super psyched. You know why? You and I are listening to And So It Flows. Not only that, we have Matthew Brinton here, artist extraordinaire. A little bit about Matthew. Matthew, according to him and his website, the purpose of his creative work is to point people toward the person of truth. A little bit about him. He's influenced by 19th century Russian literature, where he discovered, while going through a life-changing event, a little bit more about him directly from Matthew. Matthew, welcome to And So It Flows, and why don't you say hi to your water-loving listeners around the world?
Thank you, Leslie. It's great to be here, and I just want to say a great big hello to all of the water-loving listeners out there.
Yeah, it's amazing. Straight from the Berkshires, we're bringing the Berkshires culture and bringing it to water, and that's what's so psyched. And for those of you who are driving through Pittsfield right now, listening to 89.7, I want you to raise your right hand and repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to H2O and all it provides. That's it. We're done. Okay. So, Matthew, tell me a little bit about, you know, the first time I met you was a couple years ago. And then I saw your work at BCC, where you were congratulated for your work, and you had a special show, and it was on Thoreau. So talk to me about what that show was about, what you found about Thoreau that really touched you.
Okay, so actually, the show included Thoreau, but it was also a display of 8 artworks. They were portraits of different writers who I found inspiring to me on my personal journey. And Thoreau is definitely one of them.
Thoreau was here in Massachusetts, was he not?
Yeah, he lived in Concord, Massachusetts. He lived on Walden Pond for 2 years, 2 months, and 2 days, exactly.
Wow, 222.
Yeah.
That's a pretty, one of my favorite three-digit numbers right there.
Yeah.
So was he running away from something? Was he trying to get to a quiet spot?
Yeah. So his big ordeal, like, he had, like, a problem with the phase of science during his day. It was becoming very materialistic and all about what you can measure objectively with, like, empirical measurements.
Yeah.
But he saw more deeply into, like, the spiritual essence of nature and, like, what that means for the human race, basically.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Historically speaking, there was, I think it was 1600s, 1700s, around that time, there was a time where the leaders of religion and spirituality and the leaders in science got together and said, we're going to go our separate ways, stay in your lane, essentially.
Yep.
And which I'm guessing wasn't good for Thoreau, because he, what from his work, was he able to ever rectify that break?
Yeah, so Thoreau wasn't like an orthodox Christian believer, but he saw like the way that like the maybe, how do I say it? Just like the rational side of science, how it like separated from, you know, like faith and religion, how that it kind of was going in a direction where he thought would lead to a lot of bad things later on in the future. And he kind of like prophesied that with all the developments in science and technology, we might not end up in a good place, like maybe a couple hundred years down the road.
Like now, maybe.
Yeah, like now.
Wow. Okay, so, yeah. I mean, it makes sense. Makes sense to me. I had a moment in my life where I started to see. I was agnostic. I was not atheist, but I was agnostic. I couldn't prove the experience of God. Or the experience of a higher power, or whatever you want to call that connection point. And I had a moment. I was in a course called the Landmark Forum, and I got to a point where I had a breakthrough, and I started to see the connections between things. And for me, it was a huge wake-up around, oh, my God. My thinking and my feelings and my words are connected to the things that create reality. And I was like, wow, it's huge.
Yeah.
Huge. And I would say that people in the last couple of years have had so many shakes, like shake and bake without the chicken, but we're human. And
right.
Some people really got to the other side of that and said, you mean my point of view isn't the only point of view? And that's powerful. That, what did you end up learning about Thoreau? Like, what was it that you saw that really, that saw that it was, he had something to contribute to you?
I think it was kind of like how he could like poetize about nature. And just like his enthusiasm to like go out in nature and kind of like experience like God in nature.
Yeah.
You know, it inspired me to like go out in the woods every day and kind of like connect and with nature and pray in nature and like maybe like read a little book I had with me and just to be quiet and to like quiet my spirit. And yeah.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense. And those who of you who are just tuning in, you're listening to And So It Flows. We are your only show for H2O right here from the Berkshires, going all around the world through the tributaries and water sources that are here and connected all around the world. Super psyched to bring this show to you. I'm sitting here with Matthew Brinton. Why don't you just wave because you're being filmed right now?
Hi.
It's great. So you're tell me more about your artwork. On your website, it speaks to Russian writers who had an understanding of the human condition. Who are some of those writers?
Tolstoy, Dostoevsky, Chekhov. I've also done some drawings of Solzhenitsyn.
And some of those guys were locked away.
Dostoevsky was locked away, as well as Solzhenitsyn, but for two like opposite reasons. Yeah.
Sorry, we don't need to know the reason, but right. It's important to like what was it about those? Let's say those two, Tolstoy and Solzhenitsyn.
Dostoevsky and Solzhenitsyn.
Dostoevsky and Solzhenitsyn. What is it about those two that drew your attention or got you interested?
Dostoevsky, he kind of like lived like a really like crazy life where like a lot of like bizarre things happened to him, and it really comes out in his writings. And I feel like I've kind of gone down that path as well. And you know, he was also a very strong Christian, which, you know, that's what I strive to be too. And a deep thinker, which also is like my thing. So I really like connect with that. And I feel like he has like a really important, like universal message to give to the world, which he did. Solzhenitsyn, just like the things he had to endure in the labor camps in Russia during the 20th century, just like the suffering he endured, and to see how he like, you know, was able to find meaning in it, and like also like give a really important like universal message to the world. Regarding faith and you know, actually the dividing line between good and evil and the human heart was like something.
What was he saying, Solzhenitsyn, about the dividing line? What do you know what he said about that?
I can't recall exactly.
Then from you, what do you think the dividing line is between good and evil?
Well, for me, I think it goes back to, you know, when in the Christian tradition, we believe that when Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, like it was, like the idea of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, where we kind of like, and instead of like being in relationship with God and having God as our love and our source, we kind of like claim that we are God and that we have the ability to judge good from evil, and we pass judgment on other human beings when we do not have the full picture that only God has. Like, we only God is who should be on the throne. Like, not, we're too small. Like, I think that humility is kind of like recognizing our smallness.
Yeah. That's one of the things I like about nature. If you're out, like when I was out in the Colorado Rockies and I saw these huge mountains, and I really got to see how small I was.
Right.
In which, you know, there's kind of like kind of irrelevance that comes. And like when I got to be with that, doesn't mean to feel bad about it, but it's more like, oh wow, it's not all about me.
Yeah, it kind of like makes you kind of like feel more at peace, more less of like an emptiness that we often feel when we're striving for something to like be better and better or to get more and more. It's like we can never fill that well, but I think like when we're in nature, like what you're talking about, like we don't have like a consciousness of that emptiness in those moments.
Yeah, it's because like, you feel you are connected.
Right.
You're in the flow, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And you're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. You want to check out us out on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts. You're going to look for us on iHeart Radio Podcasts, also on Podcast Republic, all sorts of stuff. And before I go any further, I want to speak specifically to one important thing. 89.7 WTBR is proud to announce our 7th annual One Day on Air and Water fundraiser, because water creates air, just so you know. The event will take place on Thursday, November 20th. That's in a couple of days. 2 days from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Don't miss our guests, including local dignitaries and your friends and neighbors from the community. And when you give, there are incentives, gift certificates, tickets to local cultural attractions, and more. And you can make your donation to the Rock Box right now at WTBR FM. Just click on that. What is it called? A guitar. There's a guitar on the website. Click on it. Don't forget, Thursday, November 20th, get your credit cards ready to do the thing and support local media that goes from here and around the world, and just allow yourself to be part of something great, WTBR and PCTV. You are listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Let's go on to you're an author, right?
Yeah.
And okay, so what you have, what books? What are
okay,
the books?
So back in 2020, myself and four other poets, we worked together to publish a book of poetry. And then in 2023...
What's that book called?
Oh, it's called Poems from a Pandemic.
Poems from a Pandemic.
Yeah.
Sounds like a great way to kind of have fun during, like, what are we going to do for downtime?
Yeah.
And what other...
Yeah, so 2 years later, I was working very hard on a short novel about the JFK assassination called Tales from a Bygone Era. And in it, I talk about the assassination, but I also use it as a way to honor my parents' generation, because, you know, they lived through that era.
Yeah, totally.
And also, like, my own spiritual journey, I kind of, like, play it out in the lives of my characters.
It's intense. It's super intense. You know, the bottom line is JFK is actually one of my inspirations. A couple things I learned, I used to devour history books that spoke about John F. Kennedy. A couple things. Number one, I could tell you, he didn't like hats right there. I don't like hats. second other thing is that he had this really great quote for water which inspired me. And he was a really big water lover, sailor, all sorts of stuff. Mm-hmm. But one of his quotes really struck me, and that was, "The person who handles the water issue deserves two Nobel Prizes, one for peace and one for science." Wow. And that's an inspiration to me. And there are things that quote did not say. Did not say that that can't be a community or an organization. Mm. It didn't mean, it has to be done by one person alone. So go for it. JFK, so what did you find in writing that book?
I think mostly it was like going into my parents' generation and, exploring the different movements that were going on then. Like, my parents were a part of the Jesus movement, where many hippies during that time.
Yeah, there was a huge hippie Jesus movement.
Right, yeah.
Huge.
Yeah, and that's like the church that I'm a part of, that's kind of like...
It's like the Godspell.
Yeah, back in the 70s, a lot of hippies were coming into that church. And my parents weren't hippies themselves, but, they found this church. And
they were closet hippies.
Yeah.
It is Massachusetts.
I think I had some aunts and uncles who were hippies.
It's really great. That's actually a good story. Yeah. I have several friends who are, took that hippie-cratic oath, and they are, deeply ensconced in maybe not like Jesus this, Jesus that, mm-hmm. but more coming from love, acceptance, and peace, which is who Jesus was speaking, what he was speaking to, at least I think. Doesn't mean that I'm correct, but that's what I got.
Yeah.
And that makes a lot of people uncomfortable because, the human condition, which... we're kind of having a conversation around water and art and the human condition and the flow of things, is humans, we love to be right. Mm-hmm. And we want to avoid domination and dominate other things. And that's, something to give up, perhaps. Something to let go of, because maybe that's part of the coming to terms with trying to control the control. I learned control was not an obvious way of moving forward. Not with all the stumblings I've done trying to control stuff, but more like, being a father and trying to control my kids. It does not work.
Right.
It just brings frustration, and my health, your health, your mental health, and other types of health are not, like, once you get to the point that the outside world doesn't control how you're going to respond to it or how you're going to feel about it, that brings a certain amount of ability to be with stuff.
I wanted to say, in the Bible, Jesus talks about being born of water and the Spirit, and he also makes a reference to those who are born of the Spirit are like the wind, where you can't tell where it comes or where it goes. And I think that's what I consider my faith to be, and living a life of faith. It's not that I try to control everything, but I want to be open and willing, have an open heart, an open mind, and just a willingness to just go out and just just to not put it all in a box. I was gonna say I would be more like your hippie Jesus than the shirt and suit and tie Jesus. I mean, Christian, not Jesus.
Yeah. Matthew, yeah. The hippie Jesus Christian dude. And also, from this area, we have one of the best supermarkets, which I want to give a shout out to, because I also know you work there on occasion. Guido's.
Yeah.
Shout out to Guido's, because if for those of you who are not familiar with the Berkshires, just, you know, when you come here, check it out. But it's a place for really good, healthy stuff.
Yeah.
And then just, you know, you are then moving on towards, you have another book, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I have a memoir. It's called Coffee Girls.
Coffee Girls.
Yeah.
So does that include the ones that are on strike with Starbucks right now?
No, it's kind of about like a beautiful romantic experience I had that involved waterfalls in a big way.
So the Coffee Girls was...
It was about one girl in particular.
Yeah. Was she a barista or?
She was, a barista, waitress in a, you know, coffee shop, restaurant kind of place. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. And coffee, like water for coffee, like water for chocolate, like love and water all go together.
Yeah.
And I know you signed my copy. And
yeah.
I look at it, that signature all the time. Not so much the signature, but what you wrote. I think something like, there's a coffee girl waiting for you or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like an affirmation. For those of you who are just tuning in, you're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. I am your super waterman, ambassador for water. And I'm having a conversation with Matthew Brinton, artist, author, person who, you know, works in the world of produce and other things, you know, in the world of retail as well. So tell me a little bit about you. You grew up in Pittsfield, right?
Yeah, I grew up in Pittsfield.
Okay, yeah. What part?
Over by Elm Street.
So you literally grew up on Elm Street?
On a street off of Elm Street. Yeah.
That is probably one of the foundational neighborhoods that were, you know, connected to people who work for General Electric. So do you have friends who are, you know, who are still up and at 'em who did work at General Electric?
No, I have friends who work at the new place there right now. What's it called?
Sabic.
Not Sabic. The
General Dynamics.
General Dynamics.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are some of the best jobs in town. And you know, one of my thoughts is like, okay, gotcha. And how, as a community and a region, we can, you know, provide other wonderful things for science to flourish.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, I'm all for being able to put your kids through school.
Right.
And having a roof over your head, and that's important. And giving people opportunities is super important. So in the world of growing up in Pittsfield, what was it that was really the biggest thing? Like, pick that one thing. The biggest thing that you learned from growing up here?
I had to learn a lot, you know, because my parents got divorced when I was 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to learn how to make sense of that and to discover myself, discover, you know, I always had a passion for truth and the meaning of life and, like, all these big, deep existential questions. And, you know, I had to answer those as best as I could and search for the answers and just kind of, like, find my spot in the world.
That's cool.
And, you know, I think, you know, I'm hopefully getting closer to where that, you know, what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And thanks for letting me keep my promise for this show, which is deep water talk.
Mm-hmm.
And your depth has always been inspirational to me.
Mm.
Someone who takes on being conscious.
Right.
In a world that sometimes doesn't always, you know, give gifts for that.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, how can people find out about you moving forward? Do you have a website?
Yeah, I have a website. It's mattbrinton.com. I'll spell it out. mattbrinton.com.
Yeah, that's great. And thanks. Thanks so much for being here. Can people buy your books off the website, or do they go to like Amazon or Barnes & Noble or whatever?
You can go directly to Amazon, or you can go to my website and click on the writing section, and there will be a link that will send you to the Amazon page.
Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah. Great, and thanks. Leave a positive review for that book, and then get that baby up the scale of great authors having great books. Thanks again for joining me on And So It Flows. Thanks for joining our water-loving listeners and watchers around the world. Super psyched to have been with you today. Hang out for a little more. There'll be pictures at the end of the show, but at the same time, let's see what's up on our playlist. Oh, this is something that would go really, really well. Got two more songs. I see if I don't know if I can fit them both in. Maybe. But this next one, Simon and Garfunkel, which speaks to specifically A Bridge Over Troubled Water. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O.
Sail on, my
Thanks so much for tuning in again to And So It Flows. Check us out. Check out our Spotify Water Song playlist on Spotify. Just look up for And So It Flows. You'll find it right there. Over 350 songs. Give it a like. And then we're going to end this song with an awesome, great trailer. Just super psyched to be with you. Listen up next week when we're going to be talking about data centers right here on And So It Flows, the only show for H2O.
The mouth is the water, sparkling water, lemon, osmosis, carbonated, filtered, distilled. See? In the abundance of water, the fool will get thirsty.